Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. Hey, so last week I was talking to you about getting out of your comfort zone and listing some ways that you could do that, just starting small. And then I started thinking about the fact that when you are in a relationship, when you're a part of a couple, there are some things that you may do as a couple in terms of getting out of your comfort zone. So you might go skydiving together, or in my case, you might decide to move to a different country with your partner. And so I thought, what better thing to talk about today than when couples get outside of their comfort zone? And so today I have with you my partner, Judy.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, Dreama.
Oh, it's such my pleasure, Judy. So about 2 years ago, Judy, I packed up, got rid of everything, and moved to France with one suitcase, a piece, and a dog. And ever since that time, I think that we have been outside of our comfort zone in so many different ways. And so Judy and I are just going to share with you a couple of things that we have found out about getting out of your comfort zone as part of a couple, and just give you a couple of tips about what you too can do if you're working on getting outside of your comfort zone. So Judy, one of the first things I want to ask you about is language, because you did not know French before we moved here.
No, I didn't, and I still basically don't know French. I can get along a little bit if I'm with understanding kind people, but it's a very difficult language for me.
Well, what do you think has helped you get into learning the language?
Well, I think a couple of things. Necessity, for one. If you don't speak French, you are actually limited in what you can do, where you can go, with whom you can communicate. And I'm not at a point where I can actually carry on an in-depth conversation. I'm very basic. But I think wanting to, or having the desire to communicate with others has motivated me to study a little bit of French and try and at least get some conversational French under my belt. I think it is a difficult lesson, you know, having had a professional life for, I don't know, 37 years, you have a certain expectation of yourself and a certain perception of yourself as being well-versed in things, an expert, whatever word you want to put in there. And when you are learning a new language and are surrounded by native speakers, you have to kind of accept the fact that you are not an expert, that you don't actually have a lot to offer.
So instead of being a professional, all of a sudden you're talking like a four-year-old.
If I'm lucky.
Please, may I have some, sir?
Yeah, I think the getting out of your comfort zone with that is letting go of your ego, letting go of the expectation that you are going to look like an adult.
So this is a case where your ego is not your amigo.
Exactly. Now we're going to speak Spanish.
Right. But I think with our comfort zone too, because I did speak French when we moved here, there were a lot of times where the default was you just expected that I would take care of things.
Absolutely.
Which after a while I got tired of, and so I just started throwing you to the sharks.
Yes, yes you did. How kind.
Which I think in some ways sort of helped you lose your inhibition and just be like, okay, crap, I'll just ask.
I think that's true. And I think, I don't know about for other people, but in that situation for me, I kind of had to be forced or pushed a little bit, because it was much easier to say, oh, Dreama, you can handle it. You can talk to them, or you can, you know, make this happen or whatever. And that would keep me protected and silent, basically. Which
right.
I didn't really want.
Right, exactly. So we sort of learned how to navigate that. And there are times when I say, I think that you should go ahead and do this. And even though I may get an eye roll in response, Judy will. So she sort of learned how to put herself out there. And, you know, by happenstance, I have had to put myself out there too. And sometimes it backfires. You know, I went to a cheese shop recently and decided I was going to push myself out of my comfort zone. But because when you go to a cheese shop, it's like going to a wine shop. You can go in and say, hey, this is what I'm having for my meal. What sort of cheese would you recommend? And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go ask. And the guy made fun of me very publicly, like making a comment to the other woman in the cheese shop. And I was kind of embarrassed. And then I thought, well, you know, this guy's just really a jerk. And I got over it. I won't go back to the cheese shop, but that's okay. You know, it's just one of those things where people are going to be jerks in any language. It doesn't matter what language you're in. There's always going to be a jerk. So you just have to not let it stop you. Another thing that I think that we've had a lot of adjustments around, both of us in many ways, but I think you in particular, is around food.
Oh, yes.
You know, my kids and I have long referred to Judy as the most pickiest eater we've ever known. I mean, who doesn't eat pasta, right? Judy doesn't eat pasta. So food, let's talk about food.
I do eat pasta now. Yeah, I think that, you know, typically when people think of French food, they think heavy, creamy, or really hearty dishes, depending on what part of the country you're in. And I think that's been some of our experience, but a lot of it has been difficult for me in that I'm not an adventurous eater. And like Jim said, I didn't even eat pasta until we came here, and I just pretty much didn't have a choice. When you're invited for dinner places, you can't go and say, well, what's on the menu? You just have to eat what's been put before you. And I think it's forced me to branch out in terms of food choices, and I've actually enjoyed trying new foods and eating, mostly enjoyed trying new foods and eating things that I'm not familiar with.
Well, that squid ink, that kind of put you over the top.
Yeah, that was, especially when I thought I was ordering a salad and I ended up with a pasta dish covered in squid ink.
A little bit of difference there.
Just a little. That was hard. I made it through about half of the portion size.
Well, I think also for us, you know, France is all about fresh, and they're all about sort of nose to tail. I mean, that's really literally. So a very popular dish here is pied paquet, which is feet and intestines. That's one that I've decided I don't have to force myself to try. That's way outside of my comfort zone. But I have tried other things that I've been like, oh, okay, now I've tried this. And now I can say I'm okay with not liking it. You know, there's a point where you can push yourself outside of your comfort zone. And there's a point where you're just like, ooh, I'm having a bad experience.
Exactly.
So you want to find the fine line between those things. What else about food has been surprising to you?
Well, what I was just going to say was that being new to France and meeting new people and that, I have felt like I've had to eat certain things. You can't just refuse whatever. And I think that has helped me to grow in that way. But what's been very new is the expectation that you eat everything you're presented with. So you might get a huge portion of something and two or three accompanying dishes, and you're expected to eat the whole thing. And that's pretty impossible. I don't understand how these tiny people can eat an entree, which is an appetizer, how they can eat their main meal and then have dessert and coffee and a drink afterwards. And cheese afterward. It's really a lot of food at one sitting.
And in case you don't know, France is a land of no leftovers.
Exactly.
They don't do leftovers and they don't do doggy bags. So that was one of our big shocks, I think, when we got here. First of all, the portions were bigger than we anticipated. But then you don't ask for a doggy bag. You don't take your leftovers home because the expectation is there are no leftovers.
Right.
If you're going out to eat, you're going to sit down and you're going to eat your entire meal. And so we've actually been scolded a couple of times. And at one point, this man came over and said, well, you haven't finished. I'll bring you tea so you can finish. And by God, we sat there until we finished our meal, which was a new experience in and of itself. You know, so I think these are some of the things that we didn't know that we were going to have to get used to.
Right. And again, when you go out for a nice meal like that, you don't want to insult the proprietor. And not finishing your food is very insulting. They get very upset and think you don't like it or there's something wrong with it. One restaurant we went to, when Dream ordered something, it wasn't very good. The man came out and brought her a whole nother meal because she didn't eat the first one and there was obviously something wrong with it. So then she had no choice but to eat the second meal he brought.
So those are some of the differences, you know, the very obvious ones around language, around food. But I'm wondering for you, Judy, what sort of differences have you had to adjust to that have put you out of your comfort zone that you didn't even know to anticipate? I mean, we had visited here, 4 or 5 times, mm-hmm. but it's very different when you come to live someplace because all of a sudden you don't have what you used to have in America. So anything...
Well, I think that one of the most obvious things is a friend base. We moved here not knowing anyone, and when you move as a couple, it's easier in the sense that you can rely on each other. But it's also very difficult because we don't have small children, so we don't meet other parents of kids, which is a normal place to meet. We don't work outside the home, which is also another normal place to meet people at your workplace. And so it's been a stretch to have to actively seek out activities that will bring us into contact with other people. And for me, that's pretty uncomfortable, I suppose. It takes a lot more energy than I expected, than I anticipated, rather, because...
I think it taps into our inner introverts.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it, exactly. And that's been really challenging. It's hard to find friends who are like-minded when you're not in a business or a situation where like-minded people gather.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, we have found some lovely people who really enjoy things that we do, like food and wine, but then they don't want to talk politics, or we have people that we talk politics with, but we don't have anything else in common. And so, you know, both of us having a slight introvert edge, that means that we've really had to push ourselves at times and be like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't either. Okay, we have to go. And then we just sort of push ourselves outside of the door. Because otherwise, it's very easy, I think, to get insulated. And that's part of the problem. When people get into their comfort zone, it's safe, it's familiar, it's comfortable. That's why it's called your comfort zone. And so I think that's one of the things that we sort of have to guard against here is it's so easy to be like, oh, it's a beautiful day. Let's go to the cafe and people watch. And then we don't really talk to anybody except ourselves. And we pet the dog and then we come home and we're like, oh, we're supposed to talk to other people, aren't we? And yet it's so nice and lovely to go out and have a cafe or have a glass of wine and watch the world go by and think, oh my God, we live in the south of France. This is so great. But wait, there's no CVS open. Wait, there's no CVS. I think that's one of the things that's been a big change for us too.
Huge, huge.
You know, on Sundays, you know, let's face it, in America, there's always some place open, right? Not here. If you don't have everything done in the morning, like by 1 o'clock on a Sunday, there's no place open. There are no pharmacies open. There's no other place that you can really go and shop. Most of the stores are closed.
And the majority of the stores close on Monday as well. They're open on Saturdays, so Sunday, Monday is their weekend. You have to prepare for at least 2 days of no access.
Which in and of itself is not bad. It's just been an adjustment. And I think initially, the first couple of months, we were constantly drawn up short by, oh, wait, it's after 7, nothing's going to be open. Or, oh, wait, it's Sunday, we should have done that yesterday. Oh, well, I think now we're pretty used to it.
Yeah. And I think getting used to it certainly was challenging. But once you do, then it's sort of routine. And we're very careful about it now. There were a lot of Sunday evenings where we just had bread.
Because there's also no fast food here.
Right.
I mean, on the outskirts of town, I think there is a McDonald's, but we would never go to McDonald's in America. So we're not going to go here. But I think that that's a big difference, too, is the convenience around food isn't here, because food is part of your social life. And so in the morning you go to the market and you pick up your ingredients, and you don't pick up processed food. So we don't have any lean cuisines. We don't have the ease, which has actually turned out, I think, okay, because we're not working traditional jobs the way that we were in the States. And so our time is more fluid. We just have to plan.
Right.
That's hard sometimes.
Yeah, constantly keeping in mind what you need and when you need it, and having to get to the store, you know, at a certain time. And you can't go between 1:30 and 3. Most places are closed for the afternoon siesta, which is also Spanish. But
we're just trying to show you how international we are.
Yes, of course. But it does take planning, and all of those things do take time to get used to. Another thing I think that puts me outside my comfort zone is not having like friendly exchanges walking down the street. People do not smile at each other. They don't really even look at each other. And coming from the States, especially having lived in a southern state, everyone is friendly, and you smile at everybody and you say hello, and that doesn't happen here. If you say hello here, people look at you like you have a problem.
Well, I think that we're just big, smiley Americans.
Exactly.
I mean, Americans have this reputation of being sort of like golden retrievers. We're like really friendly and overbearing, and oh my God, with our friendliness. And the French are much more reserved, and, you know, they may look at you and say bonjour, but they're not going to look at you, say bonjour, and give you a great big smile. That's just not done.
No.
That's just not done. And if you ever see that, then you're probably not speaking to a French person. But I think the other thing for us that has been kind of funny is, because we have a dog, people assume that we're from here.
True.
Because, you know, you generally don't travel with your dog to foreign countries. And so we had stopped and asked for directions a lot, which is kind of funny, especially for Judy, when she's like standing there like a deer in the headlights going, oh my God, I think they asked me something. Maybe it's directions. Maybe they're asking for the nearest hot dog stand. I don't really know.
Or on the rare occasion where I do know what they're asking me, I don't know how to tell them in French what the answer is. So it's pretty funny sometimes.
And I think I've given people very bad directions. And probably sent them to the courthouse when all they wanted to do was go to the bookstore. But, you know, that's one of those things where it's like, I can either stand there and look completely stupid, or I can just sort of try and do the best that I can. And that's really all that any of us need to do here.
And I think generally speaking, most people that we have encountered have been very understanding, very kind, very helpful. And there are a few stores that I frequent where they actually assist me in learning French and correct my pronunciation. And it's very cheerful. It's a fun atmosphere. And they're really nice about it. But what you just said also reminded me of another thing outside my comfort zone, or kind of different, is you have to go to so many different stores for different things. You can't go to one store and get everything. You know, there's a paper store, stationery store. There's an art store. There's the bookstore. There's the cheese shop, the wine shop. You go to all of these different places. There's a fruit market. You don't get all of your ingredients in one place. You go multiple places to pick up what you need. And that's been very different and time-consuming in a way that's okay, but just something else to get used to.
That's true. There's no super target here where mm-hmm. you can go and knock out everything on your shopping list. You know, and that's one of the things that it's not good or bad. It's just different, and we've just had to learn to adjust accordingly. And you know, the nice thing about it is it gives us an opportunity to get to know these people, because we see them on a frequent basis. And, you know, they're not going to invite us over for a dinner party anytime soon. But now they don't mind when we come in and say bonjour and we smile and they're like, oh, the Americans are back. And that's okay. That's okay. It's not like we're pretending to be French. That wouldn't get us very far. So we've been talking about here just getting out of your comfort zone as a couple, and some of the things that Judy and I have encountered along the way, you know, both around language, around food, and just adjusting to some of the differences, both culturally, with the people, with the food, with the hours, I mean, all of those different things. But I think most importantly, what I would want you to take away from this in terms of your own approach is when you're getting out of your comfort zone, you're going to be uncomfortable. Okay. And you're not going to do it perfectly. And you have to let go of that. You have to be okay with just relaxing and letting yourself make mistakes. We all are going to make mistakes along the way when you're trying something new. And if you can let go of that part of your ego that says, no, no, it has to be this way, you will have so much more fun along the way so that you can go out there and you can try a new language, you can try a dance, you can do something new and enjoy it. And you can enjoy it with each other if you're both in that place where you can just relax and have a sense of humor about it. And with trying new things, you know, it's okay for people to try new things and to not like it. I think where some of us do ourselves a disservice is we don't even try it. We don't put ourselves out there because we think, I'm not going to like that. I'm not going to be good at it. And therefore, we just stop it. But it's okay. So maybe you go and you try a few tango classes and you discover that, okay, you kind of like dancing, but you really don't like tango. That's okay. I want you to be okay with not liking it. And I think the most important thing for couples when they're working on getting outside of their comfort zone is to make sure you communicate with each other. You know, make sure to say, hey, I think you're doing a good job, and I appreciate the fact that you're doing this or you're doing that, so that you both can sort of relax and enjoy the experience. You know, getting outside of your comfort zone can sometimes be fraught with anxiety. But if you've got somebody there on your side supporting you and letting you know I'm here and I'm out of my comfort zone too, then it feels much better. It feels much different because you're not out there doing it by yourself. So just remember, your ego here is not your amigo. Try new things and just make sure you're communicating with each other. So I invite you to join me on my Facebook group. It's called the Real Life Forum, where we talk about life and all of its imperfections. I will be talking to you next week.